hit my finger.
It's because you have so much callus there that it doesn't register it as a finger.
I took that as a compliment. Thank you. Because I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, men. And welcome to the Blade Runner Manatee.
Man.
Manatee.
Good man.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Took you a second.
No, I just didn't hear you.
Okay.
All right, the podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today we're talking about minute 101. Another milestone.
That's not how that works.
It's 100 plus 1. You'd think it ends at 100 because of all the zeros. But no, we found a way to keep it going. We just added a 1.
And 101.
I'm all with it. I'm
can't
all.
Say and.
101.
But
a 101.
You can't
That's
say
how
a,
numbers
okay,
should be.
Okay, we can't
a
say
70 a, and a 2. Dollars, sir. Please, right now, a 70 and a 2. Dollars.
When you say and, it means a decimal.
Sir, a 70 and a 2. Dollars, point 99.
The math teacher in me is getting upset.
99 of cents, please, sir, now. Minute 101, Sandra, for your information, starts with Roy dealing with Roy Batty, by the way.
Okay.
Just in case you get confused. Dealing with his accelerated decrepitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with Deckard and Roy remodeling a bathroom together.
Oh, it's like a little project, like this old house.
Was the word decrepitude? What did she say, Pris? Accelerated...
Pris?
Remember early on, accelerated decrepitude?
Yeah, I think that's what
was
she said.
Was that the word?
I think so.
I think I forgot the word.
No, I feel like that's the right word to use, though, so I wasn't going to tell you no, even if it's not the right word that she said.
No, I don't think that is. I think she said something else.
Do you want me to look
Remember
at my notes?
Remember when she was grabbing the eggs?
Yeah, I know. Do you want me to look at my notes?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's see if I was right. I'll edit the time.
Do you remember which minute it was?
No. Accelerated.
Accelerated decrepitude.
Awesome. I'm the best.
What do you mean? We have similar problems. Accelerated decrepitude. I don't know much about biomechanics. I wish I did.
So Roy's looking at the wet, dirty, rotted floor, and he pulls out a nail. Can you even call that a nail?
I guess it's like a carpentry nail, but it's flat.
It looked like a stake or a spike.
Could be.
But it was smaller, I guess.
Very Jesus of him.
He pulls it out of the wood. I always love that shot of it squeaking out
and
of the wood.
That...
Yeah, it's great. Very realistic. You could see they really put it in there.
Yes.
You know, so you would have that effect. It looks like it's taken some effort.
Do you think they just added the squeak post-production?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But it looks great. Like, even if
that's him. Whoever
the hand model is, like, that's if that's Rutger Hauer, excellent. Like, just, I appreciated the effort that it looks like it took to take that that nail out of the wood, the rotted out piece of wood. And then they switch over to Deckard. Wrapping his hand?
He's tying up his own injured hand to help move his fingers.
He just placed his fingers back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, popped his fingers back into place. Yeah, I like that stuff.
And then Roy takes this nail, this spike, and what does he do with it?
He pushes it through his palm until it comes out of the back of his...
And we can actually see the skin move upwards and tent?
It's amazing.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's exactly what it is.
Well,
it's a long nail, and he's doing it through the palm.
That's the iconography, yeah. It's
which is the old way of thinking that the crucifixions were through the palm,
yeah,
and not through the wrist.
This is replicant martyrdom right now. This is what he's doing
because they're the angels, right?
First people, yeah, exactly. Fiery the angel something. I forgot his speech.
And there's a real squingy sound too when he puts the nail through his palm.
You know, it's documented. I'm terrible at this, but I'm up to this part in. Future Noir,
uh-huh.
The book I'm reading. I'm almost done with it. And they talked about the special effects of this scene and how they did that. It was obviously like probably a mannequin hand or something of that nature. And I just forgot to write it down as we were rushing.
I'm really surprised that when you're reading this book, because the
I've taken some notes.
Notes.
Like his tattoos on his body. I get notes for that.
Okay. But while I'm about to watch something, sometimes I pick up your book after I've watched it, and I flip to that chapter.
Because I'm trying not to associate the book with work. Not that this podcast it has become work, but I don't want the pressure of feeling like I have to read the book. Because there is pressure to having to edit on a Monday night when I know there's a show due on Tuesday. So, and although I enjoy this, I have to admit, there is some pressure to knowing we have to, oh my God, we don't have anything in the can.
Yeah, you yell at me for it a lot.
I don't yell at you.
You speak to me in a harsh tone.
But it's nice to have a few episodes in the can. Like, now we have, like, two or three.
Legolas is freaking me out. Because he's like staring at your crotch or something. I don't know. I can't tell, and it's freaking me out.
I put a couple of my Lord of the Rings action figures on my desk, and Sandra just spotted Legolas, and he's giving me the stink eye.
It looks like he's about to shoot you in the crotch.
So Sandra, what did you take away from this minute? I know we were rushed. You came home and you were like, I have to eat lunch and then I'm going to take notes. And I was like, take notes for what? And you're like, we're doing minutes today.
You said you wanted to record today because we didn't yesterday. And you're like, oh my God.
I totally forgot. And I got Chef Boyardee sauce all over my beard as I struggled to get off the couch. It's like, I have to do minutes too. So yeah.
And we realized that we take minutes in different ways. We take notes.
We watched this together these minutes.
Right. I tend to watch only a few seconds at a time, like 5 to 6, and stop and write something down and put my thoughts. Peter will watch these longer bursts, like 15 seconds.
That's probably why I miss so much.
And then try to write it. And I'm like, how can you keep up there? Like, this minute and the next, there's so many little things happening that like, if I watched 15 and try to write it down, I would totally miss half of it.
I generally stop when I try to squeeze two important things in. That I noticed important to me, so those might be different to you, which is the beauty of the show. You'll notice the vacuum cleaner an episode or two ago.
It's a Roomba.
Whatever. I noticed the hoses, but I didn't. I tried to think of mentioning the hoses on the show, but I couldn't figure out how. They're just hoses.
So you just and
you were just it? You were just like, they must be a vacuum cleaner or it's a Roomba or something, because and then you had like a great explanation about why you think it was a vacuum. You talked about older houses with the hosing systems and everything. I wouldn't have thought of that.
I do a lot of the little details and you do a lot of the big picture.
So I get like, you know, I get Deckard picking up a pipe and then I wait a few seconds and I see Roy, whatever, tying his shoe, and then I'll stop and say, okay, I got two things now to write down. And I'll remember little things here. And I miss things from time to time, but I can't stop every 4 seconds like you do.
You know, I need to stop.
It takes you 20 minutes to review a minute.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It
takes me 10 minutes.
That's horrible.
While watching it, and then I go back and I usually go do some research online. This time I didn't, so I may suck this time.
So hit me, man. I miss your stories. I miss hearing your take on the minutes, your spin on things.
Okay, so we talked about the squidgy
time.
Sound.
I want some Sandra time. Let's do it.
It's obviously clearly painful. What
Roy is doing going back to himself. The nail through the hat.
Yes,
okay.
It's obviously clearly painful. His whole body seizes up, like his arms are really far away from him and low, so you can't see his forearms. You just see like his biceps and his chest and his neck and his face, and you can see the tension in the muscles, and like he stretches out his neck. I can't remember the word that I was looking for that. So clearly painful. And do you have something to add about his arm, his pain, the nail?
The pain?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so we can move on.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, I want to know. That's where we left off. That's what I'm trying to bring us back to this conversation.
No, you were in the middle of a thought, though.
No, it was just it's clearly painful. His neck was he stretched out his neck. It hurt.
Oh, that reaction of his.
Yes.
When he pulls himself.
Yeah,
back.
His eyes are all bugged out.
Yeah, Roy 69. Oh wait, you're right. I do have the nail through his own hand. See it pop out the other side. Then acting the pain, he looked really. Like an actor that was acting to be in pain.
You're the worst.
I love it. I love Rutger Hauer's acting in this movie. It's an eye-opener.
So instead of watching something by Rutger Hauer the last 3 days while you've been home, you've been watching Lord of the Rings. Maybe you should have watched some Rutger Hauer movies, because you keep saying you want to watch Rutger Hauer movies and then you watch Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit instead.
Rutger Hauer as Radagast the Brown would have been amazing.
You understand that everybody in the house is sick of you watching those same movies over and over again.
Katarina wanted to watch Lord of the Rings.
Katarina just says that.
No, she wanted to see the Council of Elrond because I had the toy of Gimli. He comes with the little table with the ring on it. Hold on, and the breakable axe.
Okay.
So she was acting out that scene of the axe breaking on the table. All of the other
when
day.
When I left for work today.
And so she's like, Papa, put on Lord of the Rings, where the man from Indiana Jones smashes the ring and then falls on his butt.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. That's Sala from Indiana Jones. You know
Hold on.
One.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What's that have to do with watching The Hobbit today?
So if you're watching Lord of the Rings, You gotta watch all three of them, and then when you're done... You pop on The Hobbit.
Through...
9 hours,
roughly. 7 hours of The Fellowship of the Rings. She, our daughter...
Yeah.
Sat through it.
Yeah. She loves it.
She did not sit through the whole movie, and don't lie to yourself.
I swear, she did not. Sat through it. She said it makes her hungry when all the
Hobbits...
No, she doesn't. Nothing makes her hungry. Oh, no, she didn't eat, but...
She did not. I was here in the house during that scene. She didn't say anything about it making her hungry. She refused to eat her beautiful fresh baked bread with butter on it because she said it tastes weird.
So Deckard's in the bathroom looking for love in all the wrong places.
You should have watched the Rutger Hauer movies.
Deckard's looking for a way out.
He's looking around the bathroom, and on the wall above the sink, there's a
shot of the tiled wall, pouring down it.
Can I finish a thought, or?
And there's a couple of reaction shots back and forth, Deckard and Roy, of both of them looking for something. Obviously, Roy's looking for Deckard. Deckard's
to the left side of the sink. There's a very ornamental
clam.
It's like a clamshell.
Yes, I noticed that. It looked like a face hugger to me at first.
Right. It's definitely not a light sconce or anything on the wall because it's too low because it's too close to the sink. But it could be a fancy soap dish that's on the wall. And
it's very big.
Yeah, they put a big bar of soap. Yeah,
it was huge. It was like the size of a toaster or something.
Listen, when the Bradbury was built or whatever this is supposed to represent, people didn't use liquid soap. They used bars of soap, so there would be a big, hefty bar of soap in that dish.
I miss bars of soap in our house. I don't like the liquid anymore.
I don't like bar of soap.
I'm going to use a bar of soap.
You know why? Do you remember? Because
of the scum that builds up on the bottom and stuff.
Not just that. Everyone's touching it. It drips everywhere.
No.
Little hairs.
No, just for me. I'm going to buy a soap dish, like a blade runner.
You have a soap dish.
I'm going to get my own soap dish, a cool one.
Where are you going to put it?
Wherever I want.
Who's going to clean this soap dish? You keep adding stuff to our house that you don't want to clean.
I'm going to clean it.
Erroneous, because I can't even get you to put away the extra beer bottle or cup that's sitting on your table right now.
I'm building a collection. Cups and beer bottles. I miss bar soap. I'm just lazy. Like, you gotta pick it up sometimes, right. And then the soap dish picks up with it.
Yes.
Because it's been a while since you used it.
And it leaks around it, and it's mucky. Yes.
And then you drop the soap dish in the sink, and it shatters, and now I gotta pick up glass. Yeah, you're right. That's a horrible idea.
Thank you. So we see this pretty soap dish, and we hear Roy say, yes. Because obviously whatever he was doing with the nail worked. And we know the reason he was doing it was the pain would help his hand move again.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it worked because he says yes. And Roy then, this crazy person, puts his head through the wall above the sink.
But wait, did you... First of all, you don't even see it coming. There's reaction shots of Roy looking around, obviously looking for Deckard.
I thought Deckard was looking around looking for a weapon.
And then Deckard looking around for a way out, obviously. That's what's happening right now. It's still cat and mouse. Then the close-up of the wall, of the beautiful black and white tiled wall in the bathroom.
And the soap dish. The
soap dish and the running water. And it's somber for like about 2 or 3 seconds, maybe more. And you hear him on the other side of the wall. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It's Rutger Hauer charging through the next room, and then his head smashes through the freaking wall.
When did he get up to that floor?
I say this all the time. I say this every episode. I act like a person that's never seen this movie before, but I never noticed that. I never noticed you hear the psychopath running through the wall. His head smashes through the wall.
When you have to watch stuff minute by minute, you pick up a lot of these little details. When did he get up to this floor? Was he putting the nail through his hand on this floor or on the floor below?
So Deckard climbs up the lintel,
mm-hmm.
through the lintel, and now he's on the second lintel.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know when Roy got up there. He followed him. He followed him through the hole in the lintel.
Then he would have seen him gone.
The camera just didn't shoot it, but he went up through the hole in the lintel. Up to the second lintel.
But he would have went past the door.
He did. He just didn't. I'm putting my hands in the air like, don't worry about it. Let it go.
I'm going to let it go.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them.
Okay.
It's okay. It's fine. You didn't see him go to the second floor, but he got up to the second floor somehow.
See, watching him minute by minute, these little things are like...
No, it's okay. He got up to the second... Hey, Ray? What's his name? Ripley? Rick? Rick got up there. Deckard. Randy Deckard. Randy Deckard got up there, so why not Roy? They don't have to show the guy climbing up the thresholds and sconces through the lintel. You know? A lot of good lintel jokes got cut out of I think it's 100.
Why?
No, it's probably 99.
Why?
Because we had the error with Audacity.
Oh.
So, like, huge chunks of the show were missing.
So, it was just a little.
And instead of filling in the gaps, I couldn't. There was, like, 30, 40 seconds at a time missing. So, I don't even know what the setups for the topics or jokes were. So, they're just gone. A lot of lintel jokes are gone.
Oh, my God.
And it's, you know,
what are we going to do?
That's a blow for comedy, you know? Because lintel
I'm
jokes.
I'm surprised you don't want to talk about how there aren't really lintels in Lord of the Rings.
First of all, we invented lintel jokes. I want you to acknowledge
that. Do you
want
to talk about how there's no lintels in the Shire?
Yeah, no. Because
it's rounded, so it's not really a lintel.
Anyway.
Go ahead, say it one more time.
No.
Okay, so he puts his head through the wall, and you see these tiles shatter everywhere.
It's great.
And he goes...
One of the most, if not the most confusing line in the whole movie. Go ahead, take it. But try to say it the way he says it.
I can't say it the way he does it. I'm bad at impersonations.
All right. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Believe in yourself, because I believe in you. Do it.
I've got rhythm.
Got rhythm? He says, you better get it up, or I'm going to have to kill you. Come on, you can say it like that.
No, I can't.
I'm probably not even doing that right. You know that,
yeah, but
right?
I'm not even... It's you better get it up, or I'm going to have to kill you.
You had better get it up, sir, or I am going to have to kill you.
But he doesn't really have a scratch on him, except for the bloody ear that Deckard shot off. He put his head through a wall, through tiles. He didn't split his skull in any way.
No.
You know, I think of, like,
the
wrestling.
The wall is wet. It's soaking wet. It's fine.
It crashed. It didn't make a
It's all soggy inside.
No, it didn't make a sound. But there's still some sharp edges. He went through tile.
You know.
And I think of how when the wrestlers wanted to make, like, a pop in the audience, if you hit their heads a certain way, the skin would immediately pop open. Because, yeah, like,
there's
the
a spot
forehead skin
at
is sensitive.
Your scalp, where your scalp meets
right,
your forehead.
Right, because it's really sensitive and yeah. thin area. You're telling me that if a person... put their heads through a wall, even if it's soggy, he wouldn't, like, split open his forehead skin? Like,
they're very
scalp?
Tough. The replicants are very, very tough. Just like a normal person couldn't lift the... whatever he was lifting off-world, like the warheads or whatever the hell him and Leon were
so
doing.
So you think not only is it strength and enhanced speed, their physical skin is tougher?
We've definitely had this discussion before about their skin. I forgot what... But yes, slightly, sure. You go through a wet wall, an old decrepit wall, real quick, and you're really, you know, you're strong and you don't care and you're just all hyped up. Maybe he's going to bleed later.
All right.
You know, he didn't even seem to bleed that much when the nail went through his hand. You didn't have anything to say about that. It's just a few drops.
They didn't really show more of it. They just showed the squinging through.
Maybe you didn't see like a geyser of blood.
Did he take the nail out? We didn't see him
no,
take the nail out.
No, he needs that nail in.
Does he leave it in?
For now, he left it in.
No, but do we see it later?
I don't remember, and I love
no,
that.
No, so he took it out.
I love that I don't remember. I don't remember a scene where he pulls the nail out, though.
They just didn't show it, just like they didn't show him coming upstairs.
Touche. Yeah, you got me on that one. But we'll find out. I mean, there's like 18 minutes, 17 minutes left of the movie.
And then he says...
Another very confusing line because of the way Rutger Hauer delivers it, because he split up a whole sentence by like seconds.
Some of how he says his lines, how he delivers them, reminds me of someone who is not a native English speaker. The way he breaks them up, some of the phrasing that he uses. I can't explain it. I can't define it. It's just that's how it sounds to me.
He says, unless you're alive, dramatic pause, you can't play. And if you don't play, and it sounds like three different sentences, but I'm going to take it as... unless you're alive, comma, you can't play. Like, you can't play if you're not alive.
And
if
you
don't play...
And then he starts to try to struggle to get his way out of this hole.
He's stuck in the hole.
Do you think he was actually stuck in the hole? And they left
Rutger
it in?
Hauer?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think that was a time buyer for...
No, I think he was stuck. And it looked good, so they left it because he stayed in character. It's not like he just... whatever it was, just him, the act of him trying to pull out of the hole.
So he says, unless you're alive, you can't play. And if you don't play, what's the end of that sentence, you think? Before he realized he was stuck and he lost his train of thought.
You can't win.
You better get it up, or I'm gonna have to kill you. What did he mean by that? Like, get up your balls? Like, you better get up?
your whole spirit.
Get stronger, right?
Yeah.
Like, get your act together. Let's go. Let's fight.
I don't think Rory is aiming to kill him during this.
No, it's looking more and more he's playing this game. He's playing a game.
Yeah. All of these lines make it sound like he's playing a game.
Yes.
I want to prove my humanity to you. I want to connect with you. This is the last thing I'm going to do.
Yeah, they're bonding right now.
Yeah, this is his version of bonding.
This is two men bonding.
This is like Nala and Simba and Lion King play fighting when they're adults.
Yes.
And then making out.
Yes. Yes.
Pinned you again.
Pinned you again. So after Roy says his line, Decker gives him a smile.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know if you noticed.
I didn't notice.
He gives him a smile. Shit, I wish you saw that. I thought you saw it. That's why I was laughing while we were taking notes together.
No,
he gives a big smile real quick and then turns around and goes for something on the side of a...
At first it looks like he's turning to run, but he doesn't. He pulls something, like it looks like a pipe off the wall. Yeah. I don't know if it's a radiator.
I don't think it was part of a radiator.
It can't possibly be tower rod because it's vertical, it's not horizontal.
Correct.
But it could be water pipe. It could be heating. Because some of the way the electrical looks on the walls looks like it was added after the fact.
Looks like black pipe to me.
What's black pipe mean?
Steel, it's holding gas.
So that would be a radiator, no?
But I didn't see a radiator attached to it. But it could have been there.
It could have just been a heating pipe on the wall. It doesn't have to be a full radiator.
Yeah.
Because the way the electric looked, it was on this side of the wall, not inside the wall. So it looks like stuff was added after, like, improvements.
But that's okay. I'm not looking for
It's just a pipe. It's a pipe on the wall.
I'm not looking for pipe accuracy, like, you know.
It's a pipe on the wall.
If it was copper or steel or BX or whatever, I don't care about that.
It's a pipe on the wall.
It's a pipe. It's a weapon. A pipe. He got himself a weapon, is the point.
So he gets this pipe. I got this hammer in my hand.
Yeah.
He gets this pipe in his hand.
Wait, where's that from? I got this hammer in my hand.
It's a country song by Alan Jackson. He's like, I got this hammer in my hand, and when I'm through, there'll be a hole in this wall big enough to drive a truck through. Because there's a hole in the wall from a nail. And on that nail, he's hanging a picture of them together, and they're not together anymore.
Ah, okay.
So when I'm through, you know, he's going to get rid of the wall because the hole reminds him of his girl.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, stupid.
No, it's fine.
Rory at this moment comes through the door.
Yes.
And goes, 6, 7, go to hell, go to heaven.
What is with the nursery rhymes?
Because it's creepy as hell.
He's trying to intimidate.
If a murderer is coming at you and starts going, ring around the rosy, like, isn't that the creepiest thing?
Well, we've already established that's not his intention. Roy's not looking to kill Deck.
He's looking to freak him out, though.
Okay, so he's messing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's messing with him, but I just want to
see. He's a big old weirdo. How do you fight someone as crazy as Roy is?
You rip a pipe off the wall and smash him in the head. Like Deckard's about to do in the next minute.
We've all seen
spoilers.
We've all seen these fights where the crazy person takes the hits over and over again, and you're like, "Oh my god, you hit him! I hit him, and he didn't drop."
Right.
That's even creepier. How do you fight Rory's kind of crazy? Well, he doesn't obviously care for his physical self.
Let's find out. Let's find out in the next episode. Of the
Blade Runner. We're not up to that yet. Don't say that yet. So, 6, 7, go to hell, go to heaven. What's he say next?
That's it. That's the end of the minute.
Right. So, he has these tattoos we noticed on his left shoulder and chest that are red and blue. One of them looks like a sideways happy face, and some of them look like little X's and dots.
Okay. I was going to talk about him next minute. You want to talk about him now?
Did you want to talk about them?
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Because I see them very clearly here. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, because he's got... You see a close-up of all the... The insides of the wall,
the plaster.
Plaster, yeah, thank you.
The lathe
plaster. The word plaster. And then all the tattoos underneath.
Right, they look like surgery tattoos, like not like surgery
directions.
Markings.
Yeah, little dots, like here for incision,
yes,
here for insertion.
Yes, exactly, like when people get getting plastic surgery, they mark them up. So what is it actually? Where'd
you
find
know
out?
What it is?
From the book?
So from the book, here are my notes.
Wait, did Roy do it to himself or did they make the decision?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
So Roy and Decker, see, I saved it for the next minute when they're climbing onto the thing.
You want to save it? We can save it.
The tattoos on Roy are an abandoned idea of a spacesuit map where plugs and such go. So either Ridley Scott or I forget, it might have been one of the writers, but I forget which one, had this idea that Roy would have these tattoos on him for where they were going to surgically implant these biomechanical spacesuit devices, breathing apparatuses and sensors and things of that nature. And then they put him through the makeup chair to put all that stuff on, and they just didn't have time for a scene where they would show them getting inserted or whatever, or even that's part of maybe he escaped off-world before they were going to cut him open. Either it's all part of the mythos of this Roy character.
Either way, yeah. The tattoos
are creepy as hell.
Creepy as hell. Yeah. And it and
full squares and triangles and dots.
One of them looks like a sideways happy face. Yeah. Like, I was like, what is that? I was like, why would he have a happy face on his chest? Like, that's so creepy.
That's what they were. They were directions for surgery.
Well, either way, it's creepy and it makes sense for Roy.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with, like, the abandoned idea. And that's all I got.
I'm going to cross the tattoos off my 102 notes. And we're going to go on to this badass Harrison Ford in the next minute.
Okay.
You ready for the next minute?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll be back for minute 102 before you know it. Right?
Okay. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Push the button.
Are you enthused?
Just push the button.
For now.